When I say Blondie, you will likely say, as many in our office did, I love Debbie Harry. I know every one of their songs. Or you might be saying, I'm just not sure I can place them. Oh, yes, you can. Heart of Glass was an earworm. It was released 44 years ago. It became Blondie's first number one hit in the U.S. in 1978. But it had been in the works for a while. Here's a demo 4 years earlier of a song called simply The Disco Song. That's one of the previously unreleased recordings you'll find in Blondie's new box set, which also includes re-releases of some of their greatest hits. It's nominated for a Grammy for Best Historical Album, and with us are Blondie's co-founders, Debbie Harry and Chris Stein. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Oh, thank you.
I have to ask you, start with you, Debbie. Historical. How do you feel about that?
Hysterical.
It's like, but you're not, I mean, you're living history. We have colleagues who saw you out at Mass MoCA, which is a performance space here in Massachusetts, just a couple years ago, and say they say you are as beautiful as ever, and you rocked, both of you. Chris, you're as beautiful as ever too.
I hope so.
Let's get context for all of this again for maybe some of the youngsters who weren't even born yet when you were punk before punk, part of the downtown New York scene when it was making its way from folk all the way over to punk. Chris, you were a student at the School of Visual Arts. Tell me a little bit about the scene as you saw it. Who were the bands? What was happening?
Well, folk to punk is odd, honestly, because there was several other genres
in between,
in the interim there, yeah. Like glam and pre-punk, all this other stuff. People, you know, we just lost Wilco Johnson, the great guitar player from Dr. Feelgood. Those guys were a big influence on the early New York scene. Mm-hmm. They were totally pre-punk.
Yeah. Well, and bands like The Dolls coming up. I mean, who were
you? The Dolls definitely crossed over. Suicide even predates The Dolls a little bit.
Yeah. And Debbie, you were in a band called The Stilettos. How did you view the scene that you were in?
Well, I mean, it wasn't called punk until much later on, really. And it was sort of about attitude more than a particular style of music.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great, I've seen a great anecdote floating around. That Marlena Dietrich went to Mercer Arts Center to see The Dolls with Bobby Short and grabbed Johnny Thunders and said, oh, you little punk. And that is the where the term came from. I can't give this any veracity, but it's possible.
Oh, I'm sticking with, I like that story.
Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah.
I'm going to use it. Well, speaking of Marlena Dietrich and attitude, Debbie Harry, just talk for a second about your look. I mean, skin-tight dresses, bleach blonde, perfectly coiffed hair. You know, it was elegant. To me, it was more Marilyn Monroe, but some would say that Marilyn Monroe was maybe edgier than we thought. I mean, what was it for you? What were you going for?
Well, I just, I wanted to look nice, look pretty, sexy. I was very influenced by movie stars, especially the bleach blondes. You know, I sort of connected with that image and realized that, you know, it had never really been thought of in terms of fronting a band particularly, but yet it was an image that everyone in our culture and many other cultures around the world were familiar with. And that was part of the genesis of Blondie, of the name Blondie, that it was sort of an existing identity that people knew. I felt that that was kind of a great way to stick in people's minds, and it seemed to work.
Oh, yeah, big time. Let's hear some more. Here's the classic One Way or Another off 1978's Parallel Lines. One way or another, I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna get you. One way or another, I'm gonna win you. I'm gonna get you. So, Chris Stein, you know, all gathering all this music in a box set, what were some of the things that you wanted to do?
You know, just get some of it out in the world. I had been followed around for the past 40 years by a big room full of tapes. So when we were finally able to pass that over to somebody that would digitize it, it became its own kind of entity.
Yeah.
And what else might we hear? We have remixes, outtakes. What else might there be on the box?
there's a lot of really great little weird things that people seem to like that I don't know, I can't say that I'm surprised about people liking it, but it's just, they're very different than what the Blondie sound people associate, you know, what the basic sound is. Mm-hmm. They're just weird, a lot of the home tape things. And I'm intrigued that people are drawn to them.
It's very much like the, you know, primitive sounds. And I think that, you know, people that one time envisioned themselves in a band can relate to that, you know, those early sounds in the early beginnings.
Yeah, it's primal. It's less polished. But you always had that kind of primal edge. Let's listen to another track. It's, of course, Call Me, written with disco pioneer Giorgio Moroder, released in 1980. Debbie Harry, I don't know, if does anyone else say this to you, but you both have produced songs, you know, I call them earworms, but they are tattoos, you know, they're in our cell structure. So however many decades later, when someone says, call me, I sing, call me. and do you know this, that your songs are so
imprinted? Yeah, no, I hear Tide is High in CVS frequently, so that... It's an odd thing to me, but, you know, gratifying.
Well, that's what we all strive for, you know, is to, you know, create a song or a piece of music that carries on. And as you say, it's in our DNA, really.
Yeah.
We had a thing when we were recording, I guess, Parallel Lines, that, you know, if we get these songs on sporting events, then we won. And eventually we saw a thing of the Yankees in training with One Way or Another underneath it. And that was like, yeah, great success.
Well, let's listen to another song on the box set. It's called Live It Up. Chris, tell me about this song.
I tried to combine like Bad Girls and a Velvet Underground vibe.
Donna Summer, yeah.
So it was an odd combination.
Well, homage. Debbie Harry, you've had so many, the band has had so many different lives. You know, you take a break, you come back in the 90s, you take another break, you're inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2006, you know, come back, another album in 2017. I told you, friends just saw you perform a couple years ago before COVID. Are you going to keep getting out on the stage?
I guess, you know, I don't know. I love doing it, and we still have an audience. You know, it's sort of my life. I guess if I'm, you know, too old to do it, I won't do it. But, you know, I feel very fortunate that music has become my life.
Of the songs, Debbie Harry, I mean, you could probably tick them off. Rapture, Maria, are they in your head?
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I think now, you know, what we've been doing over the more recent years is adding in a classic, you know, to a track like Rapture. I sort of wanted to add a track from Kashmir. Uh-huh. I wanted to add a little bit of Kashmir in there. We've been doing that over the years, and it's, you know, we like to sort of make a few little surprises now and then and throw in a reference to something that, you know, we all have those earworms.
Yeah. Debbie Harry, Chris Stein, the band Blondie, their box set Against the Odds, 1974 to 1982, which means there could be another box set, but that one is out now, nominated for a Grammy for Best Historical Album, which...
Give us the Grammy.
Awesome. Debbie, Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you. This is really fun.